And I know Brother Wayne Shepherd. Yes, he is a brother. I know his mom and dad well. I know his brothers. And just a good Christian family. And that just goes to show you what happens when you got a godly person in a position that has that authority to do that. But we appreciate that. But nevertheless, we appreciate Brother Otis coming and preaching to those boys and those cheerleaders there in Elkin. We just thank God for that. Thank God for that other soul that was saved. Amen. That makes 12. Amen. If you're keeping track, that is 12 in five meetings. It's been 5 weeks or six. Five. So that's good odds. Amen. But we thank God for that ministry there. Maybe someone has something on their heart this morning. A testimony. Pray for those that are not able to be with us today. For whatever reason, pray God to just touch and help them wherever they're at. Amen. Amen. All hearts free this morning. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 6 for the reverence of God's Word. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to begin in verse number 10 and read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm going to ask Brother Dwight if he would ask. Chapter number 6, verse number 10. Very, very familiar scripture to us, those that are saved. But just got to thinking about a simple thought. That simple thought occurs or happens to each and every one of us as we live in this world as Christians. We've got one that's fighting against us, amen. And I thank God that He is fighting for us, and the army of angels are standing in heaven for us. But there's one here on earth that is fighting against us. But in verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally." And I can't help but to think about this scripture. As Paul wrote here in verse number 10, he said, "Finally." Finally, I believe that to be talking to the Christians as we hit putting on the whole armor of God. But the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, finally ye are saved," amen, "and that you're able to find help in God to wrestle against the wiles, to fight against the wiles, to go against the wiles of the devil." But he says here, "Finally, my brethren." Now, I don't want us to think about this as Paul or as God just talking to us men, but he's talking to us as Christians, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. He is saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." When we get saved, we have everything that God has available for us. He has given it to us at that moment in time, amen. First and foremost, He has given us salvation of eternal life, amen. And I thank God for that. He is giving us the intercessor, Jesus Christ, amen. So Jesus Christ comes to us as the intercessor. He comes to us as through the saving blood as we get saved, and also through the Holy Spirit, amen. Those three major things that we receive when we get saved. But Paul here begins this by saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know, it's so true to say, but sad to say, when you give your heart to God, then the war begins. Amen. There's a war in this world. Amen. And as the Bible says here in verse number 12, after he says, "Finally, my brethren," after we've gave Jesus Christ our heart, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, in spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. This is who we are fighting today. Amen. We're fighting the devil. And it's so many times, as Brother Rodney done such a wonderful job this morning, it's so many times we ask ourselves, "Why, God? Why do you have to allow this to happen when I get up on Sunday morning and it just seems like the whole world's falling apart when we know we need to get together and get to church?" Amen. Why is that? There is one simple answer for it. Amen. is called the devil. I mean, he is fighting us tooth and nail each and every time we walk out of the church doors. Amen. And I was talking to a good friend of mine this week, and he said to me, he said, Mickey, he said, the when I feel the closest to God is when I'm at church, amen. And you know, that is so true. It seems like when we walk out of the church doors, we just get further away from God until we get back to church, amen. And it's so sad to say that, but that happens, amen. Because the devil knows exactly what he's doing. He is fighting us tooth and nail to try to serve God, amen. So what do we do? What do we do? We know that I could stand up here and preach on how to get close to God, amen. But it's harder than said, amen. When we know exactly what we need to do, get in God's Word, pray, seek God's wisdom, amen. But I tell you what, I couldn't help but to think about in James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 gives us a guideline on what to do when the devil fights, amen. And there's not a person sitting in here that the devil has not fought this week, amen. And if there is a person here that the devil's not fought this week, would you please raise your hand, amen. Because I want to know what you're doing, amen. Because it seems like every time I turn around, I've got the devil at my heels trying to fight me, trying to keep me from serving God, amen. We know it's so hard sometimes to do the right thing. I believe it was Paul that said this. He said, that I would do, I do not. But that I would not do, I do. And it's so hard in this world to keep on that straight and narrow path of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us is not a saint that we're wearing halos around our head. We've not yet arrived into heaven where we're pure and clean and purified from this whole world. Amen. We live in this flesh. I've said this before. I'll stand to these words. Amen. Your flesh hates everything about God. It does. I told a church one time, I said, you sitting here right now hate God. Each and every one of us do. It's not the flesh that loves God. It's our heart. The Holy Spirit, that inner man that the Apostle Paul talks about, that loves God. Amen. This flesh does not. So what does that war, where does that war stem from that we have between us and the devil? Amen. Not between you and I. There's no war going on between you and I. The war that's going on is between me and the devil, between you and Lucifer, between you and Satan. Amen. I tell you what, if it wasn't for him, we'd have it made. If it wasn't for him trying to intervene in our lives to serve God, we'd have it made. We'd be as almost that perfect being, amen. But the Bible says here in James chapter number 4, he gives us a guideline to go through in our lives to do exactly what it says in Ephesians chapter number 6, starting in verse number 10. And I'm going to read this one more time. He says, finally, my brethren. I love how he says that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I want to say this before we begin in James here. When you put on the whole armor of God that day, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and into your heart to save you from a devil's hell, amen, you put on the whole armor of God. You have got it with you, amen. Amen. All you got to do is just get into that place where you've got saved, amen, and you can put on the whole armor of God. But see, that armor doesn't go away from us, amen. We think that armor is something that we take off and put in a chest at the foot of our bed, amen. We don't take it off, amen. When you got the helmet of salvation, when you got saved, that helmet stays on you for the rest of your life, amen. No matter what you do in this world, nobody can take that salvation away from you, amen. You've got that salvation forever. That helmet of salvation is always with you. So I don't want us to get the misunderstanding here that that armor is something that you take off, put in a chest, and have to go back and open that chest up and get it back out, amen. You've always got it. But I tell you what, there's a war going on. And James says here in chapter number 4 and verse number 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That is the first ingredient, amen, against the war of the devil, amen. Submitting yourself, therefore, unto God, amen. Now, I want us to understand something real quick here, amen. This is not a commitment, amen. This is a surrender. When you make a commitment, you can break that commitment, amen. But when you submit yourself or you surrender yourself, you cannot unbreak that, amen. When you give God your whole heart, it is His forever, amen. And I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians today that's not gave Jesus Christ their whole heart, amen. There's a lot of people that just took it on the cuff and just got saved, amen. There's a lot of people in this world, a lot of Christians in this world that has not surrendered unto God, amen. And I tell you what, it makes an awful fight when you ain't surrendered yourself. Therefore, unto God, as James says here, submit yourself. When you give yourself to God, this is not a commitment. Commitments can be broken, amen. Contracts that are made can be broken, amen. But a surrender is something that you cannot take back, amen. Because if you surrendered yourself to the enemy, amen, the enemy is going to get you, amen. But I tell you what, if you surrender yourself unto God, amen, God's going to protect you, amen. And He's going to keep you. That's the first thing that we must know, that we've got to surrender ourselves. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Before you can do anything in this war, in this world against the devil, the first thing that you've got to do is submit yourself. Number one, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. The second thing that we see here is to resist. Amen. We know that when we're saved, we are saved to the uttermost. Amen. Or you should. Amen. I tell you what, when you get saved and God cleanses you from that filthy unrighteousness, amen, at that moment in time, you're the closest to God that you'll ever be on the face of this earth until God takes you home, amen. But it's not that we lose our salvation when we get away from God. It's just that the devil is that powerful. The devil can manipulate us that good, amen. He's good at his job. He's good at what he does. That's what he wants to do, is keep you from giving your heart wholeheartedly to God, amen, in that surrender. And I'll say this again. There's a lot of Christians in this world that's not gave their whole heart to God, amen. God, as Brother Otis says, we got to give, how much percent do we got to give of ourselves to God? Not 50%. Not 75%, but 100%, amen. We got to give 100% of ourselves unto God. We got to let God have our whole heart, amen. If we're going to serve Him, amen, we got to give Him our whole life, amen. Not just a little bit of it. And we wonder why God's not blessing us as much as He's blessing the sinners in this world, amen. Because we ain't doing anything for Him, amen. We've gave Him full control over our lives, amen. I tell you what, there's two or three times this morning, Miss Lisa asked me, she said, "You okay?" And I just shrugged it off. Yeah, I'm okay. But I tell you what, it's hard to stand up here and to tell another brother or sister in Christ they've not gave their whole heart to God, amen. When you can see their life and you can look at their eyes and know that they've not made that commitment unto, they've not made that surrender unto God because that commitment has been broken, amen. I tell you what, we ain't going to make it if we don't surrender. We ain't going to make it if we don't submit ourselves, therefore, unto God. And the Bible says here in verse number 7 again, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How can you resist something that you're walking with? I've heard this said so many times in our in church services that I've been in. Have you met the devil today? Amen. People sitting there shaking their head. No, I've not seen the devil today. Maybe it's because you've been walking the same direction that he's walking. Amen. I tell you what, when you resist the devil, resist means this. Very simple definition. It means withstand the action. To withstand the action. But you know, that's a problem in today's time. Amen. When the devil is fighting a Christian, I know when the devil has fought me before, I just kind of go with it. Amen. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be frank today. I'm going to be honest. I've done it before. I know how it feels when the devil comes and entices you or tempts you to do this, and you just roll with it. There's no resisting in your life. I don't care how much you've said that you've submitted your heart unto God. I don't care how much you've said that you've gave God full control over your life. But at that moment when the devil entices you, at that moment when you, instead of resisting him, you go with him. Amen. Almost like y'all buddies again. Y'all putting your arms around each other and say, all right, come on. It's going to be good, ain't it? I'm not trying to be funny, but that's exactly what we do when the devil, when we don't resist the devil, amen. There's difference in walking with something and resisting something, amen. I tell you what, resist means to try to prevent, amen. Well, you know when the devil is coming at you and he's gonna tempt you with this. You know what's coming. He's not gonna tempt you with something new, amen. He's gonna tempt you with the same old thing. He's gonna tempt you with that thing that happened last week that you couldn't resist, amen. Because he knows that you can't resist it. He knows that it's gonna entice you. He knows that it's gonna make you feel good. And you're just gonna crawl back to it, amen. To try to prevent. Say, preacher, I've done it. I've done it and succeeded. Guess what? I have too. There's a lot of us that have. But there's a lot of us that done it and failed. Amen. I'm first and foremost. Told somebody the other day. Said, yeah, I said, I heard good things about Mount Calvary. Heard that she's doing a good job preaching. I said, brother, let me tell you something. I said, I'm the least among all men. And I mean that when I say it. There's a whole lot better people than I am, amen. There's a whole lot more servants out there that's giving their heart and giving their life to God than I am. Talk about these missionaries. I mean, Brother Jason Dale, I think about him every day just about. I mean, he's got kids. He's got three or four kids, four or five kids. Got another kid on the way, and he's in a foreign place preaching to foreign people and don't have much of a church to go to, amen. But he's doing the best he can because God called him there. That's called a surrender. That's called a surrender. I'm reading a book about a missionary. Wonderful book, big book. Amen. I don't know when I'll get through with it. I'm not going to make any promises. But if somebody wants to borrow it, it's a wonderful book about a missionary. Him and his wife took their kids and went to Kenya, went to Africa. And they started getting real sick. You know what? They got malaria. Him and his wife started getting real sick. Their kids didn't get malaria. The devil was fine. See, the devil doesn't just come to you with temptations, amen. He comes to you with sickness also, trying to get you out of the fight, trying to get you to go home and surrender yourself to the devil instead of keeping in the fight and surrendering yourself to God, amen. Instead of going home, you know what they done? They went to a different part of Africa where they could treat them with malaria, and they stayed in the fight. They stayed in the fight. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, if that scripture ended right there, we wouldn't know what to do. Amen. We wouldn't know what to do. But he begins in verse number 8. He says, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. I'm going to stop right there. Don't read the rest of the verse. We know it. But don't read it right this second. He said, draw nigh to God. If you've got the devil coming at you and tempting you and trying to keep you out of the fire, trying to keep you from serving God, and you know, as the Apostle Paul said, that I would not do, I do, and that I would do, I do not. If we know the things that we should do and don't do them, and the things that we know that we shouldn't do and do them, amen, we got to draw nigh to God. We got to draw nigh to God. We got to draw nigh to Him. To draw nigh means to get close. We got to get close to God. And how do we do that? I'm going to tell you, easier said than done, but I'm going to tell you the remedy for temptation. The remedy of the evil that's in this world. You young people listening to me, because when y'all go to school, I know what you're facing. I've been there. But I tell you what, y'all facing greater things than Brother Dwight and I did when we went to school. And Miss Ginger, see, we didn't face the same things as y'all facing today. Amen. I tell you what, there wasn't any homosexuals running around in school when I was in school. You just didn't hear those things. Amen. But now they're coming out. Now they're out of the closet. Amen. And they're wanting other people to join their club, their way of life. That's just the way Satan works. Amen. But the first thing that we got to do is draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. How do we expect other Christians to draw nigh to God if our life isn't saying, I'm drawing nigh to God. I'm right beside God. I'm walking with Him and talking with Him and living with Him every day. How does that look in our lives? But to draw nigh means to get close. To get close to Him. I tell you what, here in the last week, I'm going to just be honest. 7:14 has just been a thing of the past, amen. And God just began to burden my heart and show me what's more important in life. Serving me or the things of this world, amen. I tell you what, I like things. I like fishing rods. I like to go fishing. I like to do things. I like to go out to eat. Not that I spend the money on a lot of things, amen. But I like to eat, amen. But I tell you what, God's just impressed upon my heart. What's most important in my life, Him or the things of this world, amen. And I tell you what, God just give me a new look and a new outlook, amen, on what to do when that temptation comes. What to do when the devil shows up, amen. And you want to title that just like that. What to do when the devil shows up. He says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you, amen. To draw nigh means to get close. When we want to get close to somebody, amen, I tell you what, the devil's going to jump in. And if it's somebody of the world, the devil ain't going to intervene. But when we try to draw nigh to God, the devil's right there. He's fighting us tooth and nail, amen. I may be in an argument with somebody, amen. And I may be in a little squabble with somebody, amen. But nothing like what the devil can do to us. The devil's going to fight us tooth and nail every step of the way, amen. And you know where that, I wish somebody was an x-ray technician right now. You can take an x-ray and show that empty spot right there through an x-ray. Can't see your heart in an x-ray, amen. That empty spot right there, that's where the devil goes. He don't have to do all this stuff on the outside. He just goes right to the forefront of the fight, amen. He just goes right to the heart, amen. Right to the brain. And when he starts getting into that head and that heart, say, it'll be all right. You don't have to pray at 7:14. Every day this week, I mean, we've got busy first thing in the morning. And it's the next time I'd look at the clock, it'd be 7:20, 7:25, 7:30. And I'd get some ass, the devil, what are you doing? He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I don't have to surprise him with any questions because he knows what he's doing, amen. He's trying to keep me out of the fight. He's trying to keep me from making intercession for somebody in this church, amen. But the Bible says, draw nigh to God. We got to draw nigh to Him. When that temptation comes, I don't care whether it's an evil thought. I don't care whether it's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. I don't care what it is. At that moment in time, that second that occurs, you better draw nigh to God. Because within 5 seconds, truth, within 5 seconds, if you don't draw nigh to God, you're going to sin against God. 5 seconds is all you're allowed. So when that temptation comes, you've got 5 seconds to draw nigh to God, or it's over. It's done with. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. The first three things in a sinful nature. Drawing nigh to God is prayer, talking to God. Drawing nigh to God is reading God's word. Drawing nigh to God is worshiping and in fellowship. And there's only one of those things right there that you can do within 5 seconds of the devil coming to you to fight with you and to tempt you of the things of this world, to keep you from walking with God, keep you from having your heart surrendered unto God. And that is prayer. That is prayer. See, these other things that I listed, the fellowship with God, the worship with God, and the studying and reading God's word, that's how you stayed drawn nigh up to God, amen. How'd you like that? Drawn nigh up to, amen. That's how you stay in the fight with God. But when that temptation comes, the only thing that you can do within the first 5 seconds is prayer. And I don't care if you're driving down the road. I know how it is. The opposite sex will get into your head faster than anything else. Beauty. That's what Satan uses. Beauty. I don't care whether it's if the beauty of a man or the beauty of a woman. I don't care what it is. That's the first thing he'll do. Driving down the road, start thinking about things. That's where he's going to enter. Amen. He's going to come to you right here. Start enticing you with maybe somebody you didn't even meet, but somebody you just walked through with the line at Walmart or something. There's 10 million scenarios that Satan can play in your heart and in your mind. But the first thing that you've got to do is draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. When you draw nigh to God in that first 5 seconds and you pray, you do exactly what it says in the rest of the verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I tell you what, Paul's being kind of rough, amen. But he ought to be rough, amen. A sin's a sin. I don't care what it is, amen. But when you draw nigh to God in that first 5 seconds, you need to pray, and that cleanse your heart is repentance, amen. You need to tell God and ask God for his forgiveness, amen. That's what you got to do. Right then, right there. Don't let the devil have any more time than 5 seconds. 5 seconds. Anything after that, it's shot. It's done. More than likely, you're going to commit the sin that's already entered into your heart. Repent. No repentance, no guilt. That's what's wrong with the world today. That's what's wrong with Christians today. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. If we stopped right there, there wouldn't a single Christian be alive on this earth today. Amen. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I tell you what, I almost wish that would end right before the but, amen. But God had mercy on us in grace. And I think too many times us Christians get in the mindset, it's okay, I'm already saved. That's the mindset that we got. It's okay, I'm already saved. God's not going to take it back and the devil can't take it away from me, amen. But I tell you what, that's a hindrance to us. If the word of God said, for the wages of sin is death, we'd be walking on eggshells, amen. He said, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want us to move on here. Verse number 9, the Bible says this, be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's exactly what you're going to be feeling. In that first 5 seconds, that first 5 seconds of that temptation, you'll be afflicted, you'll mourn and you'll weep, and you'll let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Amen. That's exactly what you're going to be feeling. But in verse number 10, right here, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that 5th second that you're praying and asking God to forgive you, to guard you, and to keep you from the temptation of this world and from the sin of this world, you're going to be in a humble place, amen. I don't care if you're driving down the road with your eyes wide open praying unto God, you're still going to be in a humble place when you speak to him, amen. When God spoke to Moses and told him to take off his shoes, therefore he stood on holy ground, amen. He was humbled right then. When we open our mouth with a sincere heart, ask for repentance, start speaking to God, we're going to be humbled, amen. Or we should be. We should be. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves. So how do we do that? Go back up to verse number 7. I tell you what, I don't take anything out of the Bible, but you can take this right here, and you can write this scripture out from chapter 4, verse number 7 to verse number 10. And at the end of verse number 10, you can put an arrow, put you a little arrow right there, and draw your line all the way back up to verse number 7 and another little arrow. And it's going to repeat. It's going to be a circle. It's going to repeat over and over and over and over again, because this is what you must do. I'll say, what do you mean by that? Because it says in verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. How do you humble yourself? Submit yourself there for unto God and resist the devil. How do you humble yourself? Surrender yourself unto God, and you will be humble, amen. When you make the decision to give God your whole heart and let God make all the decisions in your life, you're going to be humbled, amen. It's a continuous work and a continuous effort. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. In verse number 10 it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Amen. I tell you what, it's a decision that we need to make as Christians today. When Brother Rodney asked that question in Sunday school, what's the events that are going on in North Carolina, in the United States today? What's the top topics on the news today? I couldn't help but to think of same-sex marriage. You know why? How this affects Christians. This affects Christians, present and future, because my children are going to have to grow up in this. And not only that, maybe my grandchildren are going to have to grow up in this. And the world Revelation is unfolding right now as we speak. This world is waxing worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get any better until Jesus Christ comes back. We've got to take a stand. We got to take a stand and stand with God. He said, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. He wants Christians to stand. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. Stand. He wants us to stand. When we stand, we take a place with God. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The day you got saved is the day that you put the armor on. And that armor can't be taken off, amen? Our armor might get smaller and smaller, but it can't be taken off. So when the devil decides to fight you, you may have a time in your life, for weeks at a time, the devil not come around. The devil not show up. I mean, it just seems like you're just like that little figure, that little game on The Price is Right. You remember the Scottish looking guy that had he was yodeling, and that thing it rocked back and forth as it climbed up that hill. In that game, do y'all remember that? And amen, my only crazy person ever watched Price is Right. That little thing, that's the way we are sometimes. When the devil ain't bothering us, we just climb on up to the top of the mountain, amen. We get on top and we look and, oh man, it's good, amen. But I tell you what, when we get in the valley, it's bad. It's bad. But guess what? We got each other. We got each other. Worship and fellowship, amen. I'm not jumping out of the boat. And y'all better not jump out of the boat either. We're going to stay in the boat with Jesus, amen. But when we get on top of the mountain, it's all good. And when we get down the valley, it feels like it's all bad. But we've got one another. Most of all, we've got him. We got Jesus Christ making intercession to God, going to the very foot of Jesus, the very throne of God. He's going there for us, amen. So when the devil comes, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist him, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. We need to stand today, amen? We need to take a stand and go with God and submit ourselves unto him. I'm going to ask Miss Connie if she'll come to the piano. We've got a decision to make in this life. If we don't take a stand now and surrender our hearts unto God, What is our family going to go through? Because we ain't going to be able to help them, amen. We got to be close to God to be able to draw that power and to help our families, amen. Let us stand. As she begins to play, every head bowed, every eye closed, this altar is open. I don't know about you today, but I need to be an altar. Amen. Miss Connie's going to play this song, and she's going to play the entire song. And when the song ends, we're going to stop because I need to pray. Amen. How about you today? Would you come?